In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was perhaps G.K. Chesterton who first said this, and it has been said again and again, often enough, that there is only one good argument against Christianity, Christians. By this we understand that the one thing that bars those outside of the faith from entering the church, what seems to bother more than anything else, is the bad example and lack of charity on the part of those who are in the church. The beauty of the Holy Liturgy, the Mass of all ages, the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the beauty of every word that comes from His lips in the Holy Gospel, the example of the zeal and charity of countless saints, all of these things fade away, it seems, before the lack of charity of Christians here and now. There are many different sins which cause scandal to those outside the church, and thus a stumbling block to their entering the church. But one that seems to stand out, especially in today's gospel, is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness that leads us to speak ill of others. For at the moment we begin to behave in this manner, nothing makes us look less like Christ. Speaking of others, today we can simply group all that under the word slander, although there are several distinctions there. Slander, and we understand from the teaching of the saints, is a kind of murder. For we all have three lives. We have a spiritual life, which depends on the grace of God. We have a bodily life, which depends on the soul. And we have a civil life, which depends on a good reputation. Sin deprives us of the first, of the spiritual life. Death deprives us of the bodily life. And slander deprives us of the third kind of life. He who sins against his neighbor with his tongue, the slanderer, in turn commits three sorts of murder. For he destroys his own soul by speaking in that way. He destroys the soul of him who listens to him, and of course causes civil death to the object of his sinful speech. St. Bernard says that the devil has possession both of the slanderer and of the listener. He holds the tongue of the one and the ear of the other. Why do I group all these things under the name of slander? For we know that there are different distinctions. Sometimes we speak unnecessarily by revealing the truth about other people. That is not exactly slander. If we want to be strict, we must say that slander is when we speak falsehood about others. But St. Francis tells us, no, there in the end, as far as our moral life is concerned, as far as the health of our soul is concerned, they are all the same. Because, he says, we can never speak about our neighbor without the risk of lying. We can never truly affirm any other man to be evil without running the risk of lying. He says if it is absolutely necessary to speak about someone else, we have some public duty which requires it, we may say that he was guilty of such and such an act, that he led an evil life at such and such a time, that he is doing wrong at the present day. But we have no right to draw deductions for today from yesterday, nor yesterday from today. Still less have we the right to speak with respect to the future. What then is the conclusion, he asks? Are we really never to judge our neighbor? Congratulations, you have read the gospel. No, we are never to judge our neighbor. It is God who judges criminals brought before a court of law. It is God who uses magistrates to convey his sentence to us. They are his interpreters and have only to proclaim his law. If they go beyond this, they are led by their own passions. Then they do themselves judge, and for so doing they will be judged. It is forbidden to all men alike, as men, to judge one another. It is in today's gospel that we address this concern of the evil we visit upon our neighbor with our words. That might not seem to be the principal sin of the Pharisee today. The Pharisee's prayer of thanksgiving, which we hear today, wouldn't have been so bad if he had shut his mouth after saying thanks. He could have said, I thank thee, Lord, for making me who I am. All the good I have comes from thee. But he prattles on with his rash judgment of the other man who has gone to the Lord's house that day, going so far as to confess that other man sins to God. You might respond that the Pharisee is speaking only to God, and so he is not hurting the other man's reputation before his fellow men. But such detraction will come soon enough. A man who is of such a mind as this Pharisee is almost invariably someone who easily speaks ill of his neighbor. Though, as we can see today, he is self-righteous and vain, and so in his speech with others, he will be clever enough to preface his words with such turns of phrase as, yes, that man means well, but, yes, that man has some good qualities, but. Our words in such cases do not simply give vent to our thoughts. It's a very bad habit to talk about speaking, the way you speak, and refer to it as venting. Words are not venting. Words are more like a scratch on poison ivy, to use a camp allusion. The more we scratch, the more we fuel our pride, anger, and cruel judgment. It is the Holy Ghost himself who admonishes us in the most forceful terms on this subject. None of us can ever have done with reading the immortal third chapter of the Epistle of St. James, where the Apostle instructs us on sins of the tongue. If any man offends not in word, he is a perfect man. He is able to lead about the whole body with a bridle. For if we put bits into the mouths of horses, that they may obey us, we guide their whole body. Behold also ships, whereas they are great and driven by strong winds. Yet they are turned about by a small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so the tongue is indeed a little member, yet boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, defiling the whole body, setting aflame the wheel of existence, itself set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of creeping things and fishes, can be tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. We cannot, though, simply go through life in a straitjacket. This almost seems like cheating. We must talk sometimes. Talking is not just a necessary evil. Talking is often a great good. Nevertheless, we can always keep in mind the words of the Scriptures, also at the beginning of the rule of St. Benedict, that in much speaking, sin will not be absent. And that our Lord told us we will have to give an account of every idle word that we have uttered. How do we use our gift of speech for good and avoid sin? First of all, every day we must make an effort to speak a bit less than we would like to. Before weighing the options of what to say, we must always consider the option of saying nothing. At the end of the day, in your evening prayers and your examination of conscience, ask yourself before God, did I make a sincere effort today to say a bit less than I wanted to? And begin each day with the same resolution. If you adhere to this practice, sins of pride, anger, detraction, rash judgment will begin to vanish from your life. Second, as often as you can, engage others in conversation by seeking their thoughts instead of immediately expressing your own. How often do your sentences open with the word I? In our heart we declare, as one anchorman famously did, everyone is entitled to my opinion. But our Father said, nature has given to man one tongue, but two ears, that we may hear from others twice as much as we speak. Finally, we must learn to love silence for its own sake. Again, the wisdom of the ancients tell us, I have often regretted my speech, never my silence. But it is only with the coming of Christ that man has been able to esteem the truly divine quality of silence. St. John of the Cross says, from all eternity God spoke but one word, his only begotten Son. He spoke this word in silence, and it is in silence that we hear it. For we are not all cloistered religious. We do not live in the great silence. How can we practice silence in the world without appearing as mere misanthropes? Indeed, won't we start to resent other people for interfering with our silence? No, we are not Carthusians. We're Silesians. Though we may sometimes enjoy the taste of Chartreuse, even when we have to speak, we can maintain a great interior silence by speaking less than we are inclined to and refraining from saying anything which will disturb this silence of the soul. How far should we be then from heaping judgment on our neighbor by our words or even in our thoughts? God alone sees the heart. We must have done with judgment of our neighbor. Remember that he who tells us that we shall have to give an account for every idle word also tells us that the measure of our judgment will be how we judge others. If we show mercy to others, if we imitate God, who is spoken of today in the Mass as the one whose almighty power is shown especially by mercy, if we strive at every moment by his grace to make ourselves into his image, then we may well trust that we shall be forgiven for those idle words which we have uttered so many countless times throughout our lives. Judge not, that you may not be judged. We cannot know how close to heaven any man is. St. Francis de Sales says of today's gospel, if God's mercy is so great that one single moment is sufficient for it to justify and save a man, what assurance have we that he who yesterday was a sinner is the same today? Yesterday may not be the judge of today, nor today of yesterday. All will really be judged at the last great day. Enough for us today to pray as our Lord has taught us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.